Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle.
There you go, Bruce.
Absolutely. Oh, very nice to have him here. You just got a lot of kudos for your writing about surfing and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's I'm glad to hear there's a little support out there somewhere.
Yeah, you got your Mavericks out there. You know that.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know that was going to run today of all play times. Well, I wrote it a month ago. But
you got your people.
Yeah, they're there. They're out there.
Well, what about this ball club? You know, you've been in St. Louis. You've traveled. You saw the Tigers play. And you've seen some big-time players, MVPs and Posey. And what is it about this ball club?
It's funny. They don't remind me of the Tigers, you know, or the Yankees. More so the Cardinals, but the fact that they're going for their 100th win here and that they're back in the city once again in the NLCS, I mean, you know, should they go down, you've got to call this a great season. Yeah. Because and the way that they've done it, you know, in such a great team fashion, you know, we've talked about it all year, how they bounce back from this, from that. Now you got Zito throwing shutout innings. I mean, they just they always surprise you in the most delightful ways. And it could happen again tonight. I mean, who knows? Hector Sanchez hits a pinch hit two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Marty.
Yeah, go ahead. Before you jump in, I just want to say one thing. And, Pat, you can come in on this, too.
Sure.
We haven't had that dramatic late-inning victory. Maybe in that Cincinnati game, you know, the 2-1 game. But, you know, throughout the whole playoff, it's sort of been decided early. Then you're hanging on for dear life to just get it done.
Yeah, and they had so many this year, and in 2010, the fans, that's one reason they come out here, because you could see something incredible. The team is so capable of that, and, you know, why not now? If they get Carpenter out of there, that's no bargain either, but, you know, get your fastball hitting shoes on, you might have a chance.
Bruce, for you know Barry Zito, you've watched him all these years. Marty obviously has. And we were kicking it around. Did Zito's performance in St. Louis surpass his performance in Minnesota, where he took on Johan and just dealt? But then Howard Bryant came on and he said, you got to go back to his game against Roger Clemens in the Bronx. You want to go ahead and weigh in where you put Zito's performance against St. Louis on Friday night?
Well, you know, that's true. I was in Minnesota for that 2006 game, and, you know, it was a huge game. It was Santana. Place going crazy. It's a game the A's figured maybe this doesn't happen. He pitched great. He pitched great against the Yanks, like you said, more than once. But after 6 years of abuse and falling down the stairs and everybody just killing him, and he called it number one.
Yeah,
and I got it. The fact that he didn't even allow a run, I mean, and could have finished. He could have finished that game. It's not like his arm's going to fall off. It never does.
You know, it's funny you say that, because this week I was on Chronicle Live a lot on Comcast, and I watched the games with Vida Blue and Bill Lasky. And it got to the seventh or eighth inning, and they're saying, get him out, you know, don't let it get away, the bullpen. I'm saying, did you guys ever finish a game? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You're a major league pitcher. He could smell it.
Oh.
He could have finished. You know, Bruce, I'm glad you said I thought he could have finished the game.
And he didn't want to come out. You could tell, you know, he wasn't furious or throwing things, but you could see the frustration on his face. I mean, he's been dealing. It's not like they started lighting him up all of a sudden. I say let a run come across before you take him out.
Me too. I'm with you on that. I'm telling you, he could have gotten nine.
And that would have made it even more spectacular.
Yeah. Boy, so what about this ball club? I don't know. For some reason, we do these shows long enough. We always come up with something. This Angel Pagan is just intriguing for me. It seems like every time he gets a hit or makes a play in the field, it means something.
Yeah. I mean, I think he went 0-for-5 in the last game. But that's absolutely right. I mean, can you imagine if he leads off the game with a triple?
This place would explode.
It's so possible. You know, just drill one to the right center. But, yeah, that's so true. I mean, yeah, we've talked about him. His maturation and improvement as a player has been really dramatic. I think the Mets writers are shocked that he's been so reliable in and out, talking to the press. He's so composed and on the field. He's made a huge difference, you know, and now I'm hearing about the free agent market, because he's a possibility to go on there. He's got to see what he's worth. He could get a four-year deal, this and that. And, you know, the Giants are going to fight to keep him. So, I mean, that's the kind of year that he's had.
Vogel song tonight, you look at stories. Chris Carpenter, here's a story. The last pitcher to pitch like in a postseason without winning a game and coming in September was Virgil Trucks. You got to go back to 1945. He had come out of the Army. And there's a big fireball for the Detroit Tigers in 1945, and they give him a couple of starts at the end of the year and does nothing, and he ends up pitching in the World Series against the Cubs and has a big game. And here's Carpenter. He's out the whole year. He has a rib taken out. Come on, if this happened to us, they'd pack us in ice and we'd be in a hospital.
Not since the Garden of Eden, right?
I mean, really, come on. He has a rib taken out and a couple of muscles taken out of his neck. Yeah. And this guy comes back and pitches in the postseason. And he goes against Vogelsong, a guy who is given up for dead, and goes to Japan, comes back, can't even make the Phillies or Angels minor league team, comes into Fresno. And he pitches the biggest game of his life tonight against a guy who had surgery and a rib taken out.
Yeah. And I don't think either team would want anybody else out there.
That's the point.
I went back and looked at the reports about Carpenter's surgery, and it was described quite clearly as season ending. That's it, and he'll, with any luck, he'll be back in the spring, and he won't miss that rib too much, you know. And next thing you know, he's pitching in September. He didn't pitch well his last time, but that means nothing. He's Chris Carpenter. He's going to battle. He'll be out there in the sixth, and it won't be high scoring. That's what I, from both of these guys, it's going to be 2-1 in the sixth.
Wow. Do you see 3-1 as insurmountable? I mean, it used to be, and I know with all these statistics, you're down 3-1, and, you know, 65 out of 76 never make it back. Call me crazy, but for some reason, Zito got his game, and I kind of think the Giants have a shot. I mean, a good shot here.
Yeah, well, when you win on the road and shock the home fans, and then you got the next two at home, then it's definitely not insurmountable. And I think J.T. Snow or F.P. Santangelo said today that they win tonight, they win tomorrow. And I'm with him on that because it would be a torrent of emotion that would be very hard to stop.
Wow. Bruce, can you stick around a minute?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, 808-KMBR is the number. We'll get some of your picks on MVP for tonight. He went a dinner for two at Original Joe's in Union and Stockton. And also, Bruce Jenkins is here. You can talk baseball with him, which is always a treat. All right, everybody at the Public House, sit tight. We are coming back with more right here. I'm the Sports Leader.
Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Oof, what a day. Baseball is... I'm sitting here with my good friend Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle, who I love to read each and every Saturday with the Three Dot Lounge, despite your passion for Atlanta Braves fans and being one. But Bruce is here. Marty and I just kicking back on the patio. It's great to be a baseball fan and be out here, Marty.
I'll say this to Bruce and Pat. We've talked about it. We haven't had a game six in San Francisco since Billy Pierce beat Whitey Ford in 1962.
Yeah.
You know, it's about time we got rid of that game six stigma, because when you say that to fans now, they think of 02 and Anaheim and, oh, my God, and Scott Spezio. But Zito could wipe that. I mean, the Giants could wipe that all out tonight.
And this one is here.
Yeah, that's first in 50 years here. That's astounding.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, you know, you win game six, and a game seven is the ultimate. And if you're a baseball fan, and, you know, I can think back of my whole life. You know, I can do this anyway, even if I'm not on the air. I mean, game sevens are indelible. You just remember game sevens. You remember pitchers. You remember Joaquin Andujar. I don't care who it is. You remember things that happened in a game seven.
And the Giants really need a game seven, because that's got its own stigma. Anaheim, you know, Bobby Richardson, Willie McCovey, and game seven doesn't have a good connotation here, but again, that could change very quickly, especially among the younger fans who don't even know what we're talking about.
Crowd difference tonight for you? How important is the crowd tonight in this game?
The postseason crowds are a little bit different from the regular season. You've got a lot of people out here who've got tickets for the first time. They're not completely crazed fans who like to make a lot of noise. You know, no matter what, they sort of need something to unfold in front of them. We saw that in the Cincinnati series,
yep.
I think,
yep.
Quite a bit. And, you know, a couple runs in the first inning, then you got a wave of momentum that could really help. I think it'd be huge if that happened.
Hey, Bruce, the stubborn nature of this Giants ball club has really been the defining feature over the last month or two, or maybe the whole season. Does Brian Wilson being in the dugout and the ridiculous beard and him throwing the ball the other day 30 times, does he lend himself to that? Does he helping with that, or what does he bring to the ball club being down in that dugout? If anything at all?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. He's got a great sense of humor, and the guys, you know, he cracks guys up. To me, I see him in the clubhouse, and I don't really have any inclination to interview him.
Right.
Then again, Aubrey Huff, same way. I mean, they're not part of this.
Sure.
They just aren't. And if they want to hang out, that's great. I mean, if Freddie Sanchez was hanging out for a while. But one of my best favorite quote from Wilson was that I know the beard looks ridiculous. I mean, thank you, because it's way over. That's so over. But he goes, but I don't care.
Yeah, let's see him. As I say, he can do it every once, and let's see what you do on the mound.
Yeah.
That's what you're being paid for.
Right.
You know, the bench hasn't really been a factor in this. It was a little bit in Cincinnati with the double switch with Arias, and he led a couple of rallies in that game when he got the doubles. But in the Cardinals series, the bench really has not been a factor at all.
Yeah, there's so much right-handed pitching. I haven't seen any of Nady and Arias, and things change so quickly. I mean, Sanchez could do something, Arias could contribute, but it's sort of like Detroit. It's just like one right-hander after another. Most of the relievers are right-handed, and it definitely affects the Giants because they like to see a lefty and come off with those right-handed hitters.
Well, much the same if they're lucky enough to get against Detroit. It's four righties again, including Anibal Sanchez, who we've seen a lot of.
I mean, ask Johnny Gomes. He got one at bat against Detroit just because of the fact that he hit right-handed. I feel bad for him in that regard. But, yeah, that's with Detroit, it's even more exaggerated.
Yeah, until you get to Phil Koch or Smiley or Drew Smiley, that's it. You won't see a lefty. So the bench, if the Giants are lucky enough to get that far, bench really hasn't been a factor at all.
No, and I mean, if I had to bet on it, I'd say that would continue. You know, I think the guys that really, really have to watch are Belt and Crawford. You know, the guys are getting in there time after time against the righties. Crawford's been great. In fact, he'd be my pick for MVP tonight. He's gearing up to something big.
All right, Bruce J., you're on record. You got Crawford. If I make him the MVP tonight, you're going to dinner at Original Joe's.
Absolutely.
Union and Stock.
Or even Fake Joe's.
Good.
All right, we'll let you go to work.
All right. All right. It's always a pleasure with you guys. This is a great scene.
And unfortunately, this will be our last one, because if there is a World Series next weekend, it'll be in Detroit.
Oh, God.
So you'll be there.
I will.
But at least we'll get you on the phone. We could do that.
I'll create my own public house, and I'll have you guys on my show.
That would be awesome.
Great Bruce Jenkins.
Thanks, Bruce.
Right here.
Thanks,
come on,
Bruce.
Let's hear for Bruce.
That's a good guy right there.
Very good.
That's very good.